Amen. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And you probably would have heard this scripture like lots and lots of times read out at funerals. There's scriptures that are read out at funerals, isn't there? And there's scriptures that are read out at weddings. And we nearly assign the word of God just to certain things and become so familiarized that we don't understand the absolute power and authority and the blessing that's in God's word. So you may find yourself in one of these seasons that I'm going to read out. And this is the one thing about to know about seasons of life. Seasons change. So whatever season you're in of life, it changes. It doesn't come to stay. Winter doesn't come to stay. Summer doesn't come to stay. Spring doesn't come to stay. And autumn doesn't come to stay. They all change. And it's like that with our lives. So listen to this scripture. This is by Solomon, who was the wisest man in the world. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Seasons that we may be in or going through. It goes on to say in Ecclesiastes that God makes all things beautiful in his time. All things. But I want us to concentrate on a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Just want to say and just acknowledge Becky and Greg, who was actually going away to live in America next Thursday, my daughter and her husband. And it's a time of weeping and a time of, for us as a family, of seeing them, and yet a time of laughter and joy because we love them going on a new adventure in their lives. But just want to recognize Greg and Becky and your work in Liberty and what you've given and contributed into this house and the other houses on Liberty as a whole. Would you just let them know that we appreciate it? A time to mourn, time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Whether that's a time of a death of a loved one, an ending of a relationship, the death of a well-loved animal, a leaving of a job, a leaving of a country, a leaving of a home, etc. There's always a time of mourning and a time of weeping. There's a time for everything under the sun, but there's also a process of weeping and mourning. And we can't skip the process. We can't go around the process. There's a time and a process that helps us come out the other end of a time of weeping or a time of mourning, that helps us come out healthy. Because you can be in a situation of weeping and mourning and you're not healthy, or you're stuck in one element of the process. No matter what it is that you, there's a process to go through, a time of weeping and a time of mourning. And psychologists and psychiatrists and people that know about the mind, that they have said that there's like five stages of going through a time of grieving or a time of mourning. And they are denial and isolation. So denial, if someone dies, say, for instance, it's like people live in denial. No, it didn't happen. I'm waiting for them to walk in the door. And that's part of it. You're waiting for the person to come back from holidays until you come to a realization that there may be, they're not. But denial is part of it. Do you ever wake up after one of those moments and you go, did that really happen? Was I in a dream or something? Like, did I really hear that news? Did I really experience that? And denial and isolation is part of it. And what it is, you're trying to come to terms with what and process what has just happened. But if you get stuck in denial, you're in trouble. Or if you get stuck in isolation, you're in trouble. But because it's not a one-off event, it's a part of a process. And part of a process is anger. Some people get even angry at the person that died. Because I feel this way because of you. And they get annoyed with people around them and anger. And then there's bargaining. God, if you just change this, I'll be a good boy. Do you ever do that? If you just turn this around, I'm telling you, I'll never do anything wrong again. Then there's depression. The situational depression that comes upon you, but it's part of the process of leading you to the place of acceptance. I accept this situation. I accept that this happened. And that process helps you move on. There's a time to weep and a time to mourn. Moses in the Bible died. He brought the people of God out of Egypt, out of bondage, and he was raising up a young man called Joshua who was going to be his successor in leading the people to the promised land. And Moses was brought up in Mount. Moses and God had a great friendship and relationship. When you read it, I don't know about you, but it makes me jealous. He'd go up to the mountain and talk with God. God showed him his glory and his majesty and just incredible miracles. But above all, Moses and God just had a great friendship. And one day, Moses, it was time for him to go home, and God brought him up the mountain for a walk. And Moses never came back. So if God asks you to go for a walk up the mountain, there's one person at Moses' funeral on Mount Nebo, it was God. And the people mourned Moses. The people were leaderless for a time. And God speaks to Joshua. He says, how long are you going to mourn? The day of mourning is finished. Moses is dead. It's time to move on. He allowed him to grieve. He allowed him to go through the process. He allowed him to go, God, will you just bring Moses back? We don't know where we're going to go. He allowed him to bargain. He allowed him to even be in the night. He allowed him. Moses is just going to come up the mountain. Do you remember he went up there for 40 days? He's just going to come back. Not this time. God says it's time to move. And for some of us, we're at different stages in situations of weeping or mourning. There's a day when God says it's time to move on now. You might live in a situation where you're mourning or you're weeping over regrets that you have. I should have done this better. I should have gone there. I should have raised the kids better. I should have done A, B, or C. And we live with regrets. And they hold us back from moving into the promised land, into the future. God would say to you today, it's time to move, son. It's time to move, daughter. You might be living in the mourning and the weeping of past mistakes. Who hasn't had a past mistake in their life? We all have. Maybe even yesterday was one of mine. It's past now. And if I live in the mistakes of yesterday, I become a non-effective person. My life won't amount to much. I'll go to the grave with all my potential in me if I live dreaming and regretting and living in the mourning and the weeping of my mistakes. And if you're living in that moment and they torment you at night and you wish you could have done better, and you, God might say to you today, come on, it's time to move on. Some of us are living in the shouldas, couldas, wouldas. I could have done this better. I should have done that better. Wrong decisions. God would say, it's time to move on. David loved the king called Saul. And David became Saul's successor. And Saul hunted him down. He had an awful relationship, this love relationship with Saul. But Saul was jealous of him because he knew God was going to use David as the next king. Tried to pin him to a wall a couple of times. Samuel the prophet anointed Saul the king and had a real heart for the king. And God told the prophet, my time with him is finished because he's only looking out for his own welfare. And you remember he went to David's house and anointed David to be king. And David went out to mind the sheep. And then David ended up on the run from Saul. And big whole story that 100 movies could be made. But Saul died. And Samuel mourned him. He mourned the king. And God says to him, Samuel, Saul is dead. How long are you going to mourn? He says, now get up and go. This is exactly what he said. And he was sending him to David's house. You can mourn and live in the mourning of other people's mistakes that have affected you. Other people's problems that have affected you. Other people's attitudes about you, other people's attitudes and opinions of you. You can sit in a mourning and a weeping state about other people's understanding or lack of understanding of who you are. And you're paying the weight of that or carrying the weight of that. And usually them type of things come from loved ones who don't really get us. Or parents who don't really get the genius that's in the kid and wants them to do something else where the kid just wants to be an artist or something. But the time of mourning is over, he said. How long are you going to stay there, David, or Samuel? How long are you going to sit under this? How long are you going to let the doom and the gloom surround you? He says, now get up and go. There's a new season going to happen. There's a new day going to happen. That's what he was saying in Ecclesiastes, that there's a season for everything. And when you talk about grieving and people grieving around and you tell people to move on in grief, you know what we think? We're going to disrespect the ones that were grieving. No, we're not. We're going to honor them. Because do you not think those people wanted you to fulfill your future? Do you not think that mom or that dad wanted you to be all that you could be? And we sit in the mourning and we sit in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. It's time to get up, he says. I want you to move on into a new season of your life. You're not disrespecting. You're not dishonoring. In fact, you're honoring them. And this is what God promises. Now, even though there's a time of weeping, there's a season of time of laughter. That he turns our weeping into laughter. Where we think, I'll never get over this, I'll never be able to move on. And somehow as we present ourselves before God and we allow his word speak into our lives, well then we move into a new season. We go, I never thought I would do this again. And not only a time of laughter, but a time of dancing. I never thought I'd get to dance again because I thought that time of my life was just the be all and end all. I never thought I'd have the heart to even have a good time again. But here I am. Doing a bit of Beyonce or something. He promises to turn your mourning into laughter. Your mourning into dancing. And the word dance here, it means to not just like, you know, do a little one. It means to hop and skip and jump. It means like that he'll take you from this mourning situation and he'll put a spring in your step. He put a pep in your step, something so that you can move again into the things that he has for you. He's able to turn our minuses into pluses. He's able to turn our negatives into positives. He's able to take curses and turn them into blessings. He's able to do everything. He promises in his word to turn all things for the good of those who love him. God is in this. You know, my brother Mark died in January, my youngest brother. And it was a shock to us. He walked across the road up in James' Street and dropped dead. His body had enough of addiction. And I was at home. And we had our two boys from Belarus over. And Katie Taylor had given them two pairs of boxing gloves. And I was upstairs getting ready. I'd drop Erica into this building for worship practice. And I headed home to have a shave and then come into church at the time. And I actually crossed the road. I actually went on the road twice when my brother was found dead. Would you believe it? One on the way down, one on the way back. Three times, then on the way back down again. And I'm one of the little, if anyone knows, Enna's dead? Ed and Dennis. Dennis is our bigger boy and Ed is the little guy. And he caught him with it. Sheridan had them boxing downstairs with the boxing gloves. While I was up getting ready, and little Ed caught Dennis under the chin, and he went back on the chair, and Sharon said it was like something out of a cartoon. He was like that, like, you know, like trying to get it. And anyway, he runs upstairs with busted lip. Papa, Papa, Ed's after hitting me, and Sharon comes in. But what they didn't know, I just got a phone call from my niece Vanessa that my brother Mark was found dead, and so I was like stunned and grey. In the face, and Sharon comes in, and they're all laughing. She's like, no, do you want to see the punches after giving it? And she goes, what's wrong? And I said, Mark's been found dead. But I had a message to preach about we want to see people get to heaven. And Sharon says, you can't go in and preach. I says, I need to go in and preach. And I came in and spoke to Simon and said, Simon, after one song, I'm going to get up and preach, then I need to go. Didn't tell anybody what was going on. And I left here, and on the way to the hospital, with my sister's here. All my family was up there. And we were just shocked. On the way up, I realized that that was my third brother I'd lost to drugs. I realized, where did Mark stand with God? God, is he with you? All these questions before I got there, and we got through the funeral, and I lay awake, I don't know for how long, for a month probably. The great in the daytime, then I go to bed. And my main concern was, Lord, is Mark with you? Was he separated from you forever? And I lay awake night after night, way hours into the hours of the morning. Well, Claudia Bourne, I don't know where the Claudia's in. But 1:29 a.m., I get an inbox on Facebook. Bing! I'm still awake. And Claudia said that she was up in the middle of the night praying, because that's she puts her family to bed, then she gets up and prays. God bless her. Not my time for praying, but it's Claudia's time for praying. And she said she started praying for nothing particular. God showed her a picture. Do you know God still does this today? Well, here's a story that tells you. When people were getting up saying, I believe God said, or I have a sense God saying, that was God interrupting a whole service to tell someone here that he loves you. How amazing is that? He's like, yeah, be quiet. You were all your fears and insecurities, man. I want you to tell them. It's just amazing. I love the way he does that. And so Claudia said she had a picture of me. And in the picture, I had my head in my hands, like desperate to get an answer. She didn't know anything about me, Bina. My kids wouldn't have even known about me. Well, they probably did. And she says, I got this picture of you, and then I start praying in the spirit. And she says, and as I start praying, the Holy Spirit was praying through her. This is what the Bible tells us happens. If you don't know what to say, he will pray through you. And she says, the Holy Spirit started praying through her. And she says, and in my sitting room, I was calling out. This is what she was calling out. I'll show you on Facebook. I'm not She's calling out. So in the spirit, so this is now not Claudia anymore. This is God. Tell Noel Kenny, his brother Mark is with me. Tell Noel Kenny, his brother Mark is with me. And she sends me this in an inbox, and I'm lying awake at night thinking, God, where is Mark? And he's speaking through someone else and dreaming it. Tell Noel, Mark is with me. And I tell you, a peace. See my mourning and my weeping change in one breath of God. Do I still miss my brother? Do I still have regrets with my brother yet? Do I wish I was with him more often than I was? Yeah. But the mourning and the weeping turned into something else. Why? Because God promised that he would do something in these whole areas of seasonal times of our life. And he put this in my heart. I was supposed to speak out of Ephesians today, but he put this in my heart for you because he knows where you're at no matter what weeping or mourning that you're going through, that he says, I'll turn it into dancing. And the great thing is, we had booked to go to Disneyland. Penny, my granddaughter, who was 4, Robin Patrice booked to go to Disneyland, bought the tickets with Ryanair. God bless Ryanair, €10 each way to Paris. Don't ever say anything negative about Ryanair to me. I'm like, no, I love him. So Penny went with her mom and dad, and 15 of us joined them. So they were going on a nice little family holiday, and all the rest of us went. And Penny was going up to Minnie Mouse, and 15 of us are like, ah. Oh, it was worse. It was in the middle of January, and freezing cold. We didn't have to queue up for anything. There's no one else there willing to do it. We got off a ride, got back around, back on it. No way, no nothing. But you put up with the cold for that, believe me. But I tell you, did I laugh my head off? I howled laughing going on every them rides and wherever. And God says, I'll turn your weeping into laughter. And I tell you, laughter is good medicine for your heart. And this is where he says, that he will reverse things in your life to turn your weeping into the laughter. He says he will reverse things, that your mourning will turn into dancing. He'll bring somebody, somehow, some situation into your life that will cause you to come out of that season into a season that at these times you don't even think is possible. at these times. But when he says it's time to move on, what we need to do is to make a decision in our heart, I need to move on, because that releases, that step releases the new season time. That step, that decision, that choice to go, Lord, I've been beating myself up about that for too long. God says, get up now. Get up now. Get out of your regret. Get out of your condemnation. It's time to move on into that new season. And God says, I will release something to your feet that they didn't even think you could dance like that. That there will be a joy about you that circumstances doesn't dictate to you anymore, because you've come through a season where circumstances could have dictated you going to the ground, but you chose to get up and to move on. God honors that stuff. And for the bigger picture for our nation, I'll tell you a quick story that I read in Argentina in the 60s, 70s and 80s. Was the most darkest, desolate places spiritually that you could imagine. Full of witchcraft and hoodoo and, not hoodoo, voodoo, boo-hoo. No one, no missionaries. It was called the graveyard of missionaries. Nobody was planting churches. Nobody was getting breakthroughs in any situation. And this man went before God. This one person, because sometimes it only just takes one person in a family, in a community, in a city, in a nation. God says in the Bible, I search to and fro for one person. And you can be that person. God, you know why God was searching to and fro? Because nobody was standing up. God just looks for someone to stand up. Lord, I ain't got much, but I'll give you all that I have. I'm a one-trick pony, that's all I am. But I'll give you me one trick. I'll give you me gift. I'll give you me talent. I'll give you me time. I'll give you me money. I'll give you everything. Here I am, Lord. Searches to and fro. One man, one missionary steps up and he says, God, what's happening in this place? Why are we not seeing anything? What can I do for you? You know what God spoke to him? He says, this is what you can do for me. He says, cry for me, Argentina. Cry for me. Cry for me, Argentina. Come before me and allow my spirit to stir you up that you end up crying for Argentina. Do you remember the movie or the play, the musical they brought out, Eva Perón? Do you remember that movie? And the biggest hit ever was? Don't cry for me, Argentina. It was like a direct competition to what God spoke to a missionary. Cry for me, Argentina, that out of the entertainment world came a war that was in opposition to what God said. Don't cry for me, Argentina. But this man did cry for Argentina. And this is what it says in the history books. That for 10 weeks, like the Spirit of God came upon the people. That was like, say, us in the church. And they started to weep every time they got together in the prayer meeting. There wasn't laughter. There was a weeping in the prayer meeting. 10 weeks, this is. They said you couldn't comprehend the amount of tears that would come out of an eye duct or a tear duct. Says you couldn't believe the amount of weeping. And then on the 10th week, God spoke to him and he said, refrain from weeping. That a time of laughter and joy is coming. So they said on the button, that lovely Spirit of God that burdens us for people, lift it. And the man went out, and this is what he'd done. He rented out for, I don't know how long, but he rented out a stadium that held 65,000 people. And for the next weeks and months, every night, the stadium was filled with people, and they came to know Jesus. And it's called the Argentinian Revival, which has changed the landscape. The whole landscape of South America has impacted the world. Why? Because someone knew that if there's a time of weeping, there's going to be a time of laughter. And I want to tell you can imagine when there's tens of thousands of people coming down to the front of a stadium to receive Jesus. You know what the Bible says? Angels rejoice when one person does this. Imagine what's released in heaven when thousands are coming. And God will put in our heart a time of praying for our families, praying for our workmates. That's what I'm asking God for us, Lord. Not something that we get all depressed about. But something that God just allows us to feel his heart. And if he does, get ready, because there's a time of laughter after that. And there's a time of mourning over here. Like, don't give out about the government. Pray for them. Giving out never changes that. And pray for them. And if God puts in our heart to mourn over situations, well then get ready, because he's going to move you into a season at the end of that to dance over situations. So can we stand? You're being very patient. It's very warm in here. We love you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've spoken into our hearts in so many ways today. I just thank you, Lord, that you reminded me when the guys are getting up. God's reminded me, no, I love you. I love you, son. I love you, son. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us in so many ways, oh God. Now, if God's word is God's word, and if God put on my heart, well, that means there's a time and a season for that word to be spoken into this church this morning. And you came, think you came here by happenstance or for a baby dedication, which was the vehicle to get you here. But then God says, I have a chance to speak to somebody. And so, from whatever which way he spoke, what did someone say, that there's been someone, and maybe you're a Christian from an early age, and something happens in the middle, and you disappeared, and you're trying to reach out for him, and now he's reaching out to you. And he's like, come on, it's time to move on now, that season. And you just reach up to me, and I'll my hand is here, so you just reach up and take it. And then there's other people with grief, there's other people with regrets, there's other people with jobs, other people with relationships, other people, all types of stuff that we mourn and grieve over. And God, if God has spoken to you, will you just respond to him in the most simplest way and say, Lord, I hear you and I will do what you want me to do. Because I want this new season. I want this new season in my life. He may say to you right now, because he's put this in my heart to say out loud. He might say, you know the way you step into that new season? Just say a prayer. I forgive that person. Not a big rigmarole. It's just like, I forgive. Name them to God. Let that be your decision to move in. That's your key. That's your entry point into a new season of laughter. A new season of dance. Just as the music comes on. Just release feet to dance, Lord God. Release joy in the hearts of people that thought they'd never experience this again. I'll never get back to where I was, yet you will and beyond. I will never be able to trust like that, yet you will and beyond. I'll never be able to jump in the way I did, yet you will and beyond. God doesn't leave you with what you used to have. He gives you that and more. So Lord, I release just the grace of God over our lives that enables us to do what you've asked us to do this day. We just say we receive your love. We receive your joy. We receive your dance. We recognize our seasons of weeping and our seasons of mourning. But Lord, I'm ready to move on. I hear you. Just as you said it to Moses. Just as you said it to Joshua about Moses. He's dead. Let's go. He said to Joshua, let's go. Get the people. You're going over to Jordan to the other side where the place was, where the promised land was. And he got the people. He responded and he got the people and he went. He says to David, he says to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Get up and go to David's house. Get up and go. I'll send you to Jesse's house. David was the new, he represented a new season. So if you hear God in it, just take that step in Jesus' name. And I pray that he'll give you the grace and the courage. All that you need to do to respond to what he's asked you to do. So Lord, I bless your people. I thank you for this great day. Thank you for Elijah's life, Lord God. Thank you for what, Lord God, you will do in our midst, Lord God. And I just pray your blessing over the people. Lord, I pray that everything that they need, they would find it in you this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, every breakthrough, Lord, every open door, every curse would be reversed today to a blessing. Every minus will turn to a plus this day. Every negative will turn to a positive this day in the name of Jesus. Lord, every judgment is set against any person here, from whether it's from doctors or lawyers, Lord, or judges, Lord God, Father God, or banks, Lord God, that there would be a reversal of fortunes from this day on in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that you will turn this around, oh God, so people can enter into a new season in their life. And all the people says, amen. Guys, will you please stay with us for a cup of tea downstairs and have a great week.